it is having these quality friendships and connections. I end my podcast every single time with the same expression, and I believe it very deeply, and it is that when our friendships are going well, we are happier all around. And it really is true, because when you are having strife with your friends, or you're lonely, or you feel you have no one that you're getting along with, you're pretty unhappy.
Hello, and welcome to the Art of Living Well podcast. I'm Stephanie May Potter, and I'm here with my co-host, Marnie Dotchess-Marmette.
We created the Art of Living Well podcast to empower you to live your happiest, healthiest, and most authentic life. Each week, we will bring you inspiring and motivating conversations covering health and wellness topics, including fitness, mindset, food, travel, product reviews, and strategies from a variety of experts, including our own bank of knowledge.
We are excited to educate, motivate, and inspire you to change the way you perceive health and discover your art of living well. Get ready to feel inspired.
Hi all, welcome back to the Art of Living Well podcast. We are thrilled to have you joining us here today. As always, we are here to bring you some fantastic conversations, motivation, inspiration, and all things empowering to help you truly master your art of living well. If you are as excited and jazzed about our podcast as we are, and we really hope you are, we've got some extra goodies for you. Head on over to our YouTube channel to watch us on video and dive into our Pinterest boards for an endless well of inspiration. And while you're at it, don't forget to hit that subscribe button and save your top episodes. Before we jump into today's conversation, can we ask a little favor? We would absolutely love it if you could take a moment to leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. It's like fuel for our podcasting fire, and it helps us reach even more awesome listeners like yourself. Plus, it's quick, easy, and it would mean the world to us. All right, enough about that. Let's get our conversation rolling. Let's welcome today's guest, Nina Badzin. Nina has been writing about friendship since 2014. She's the host of Dear Nina, Conversations About Friendship podcast, and the co-founder of the writing studio at Modern Well in Minneapolis. In our conversation with Nina today, we talk about getting to know new people and nurturing new friendships. We talk about what happens as you're getting older and you're moving into that empty nest, and how maybe you don't have as much in common with some of your friends that you spent a lot of time with as you were raising kids. We dive into couple friendships. We dive into recommendations on how to handle rejection or disappointment in friendships. Nina peppers the conversation with lots and lots of advice on how to manage different kinds of friendship. And overall, we just discussed that how when you have quality friendships in your life and your friendships are going well, we are all happier all around. Hi, Nina. We are so excited to have you on our show today. We are both so passionate about friendship, and we know how much friendship can enrich our lives on a daily basis. And we thought it would be great to have the friendship guru herself, aka Dear Nina, on our show. So Nina, you know, I've known you for a number of years now through our children, and I actually grew up with your husband, Brian. So it's just so funny, like, how life ends up crossing in different ways. And you know, Nina, you're a member of Modern Well and a writing instructor there. And Stephanie and I are both members there. And it's a co-working space that we all work out of. And we're just so happy to welcome you here today.
Thanks so much for having me. We actually have a health connection too, Marnie, because we live so close to each other. We see each other walking a lot.
Yes. I actually see you. I'm sitting in my office, which is up on the second level, and I see you with your phone in front of you. Like, I'm always like, is she FaceTiming or is she just holding the phone out while she's talking? But I always see you walking by when I'm working. It's pretty funny.
That's funny. Yeah, sometimes I am FaceTiming my son who's abroad. And so we do the WhatsApp thing.
Yeah. Well, in any case, before we dive into the interview, we would love for you to share what is one of your non-negotiables to start out your day?
A cup of coffee. There's no question. And I just started with the collagen stuff in it, the powder, and I probably should really ask the two of you if I should even be doing that, but I've watched enough videos and TikToks and been influenced by all the health people that's going to help me somehow with my aging. And so I do that, but I have given up Splenda in that, but I did replace it with Stevia. So anyway, we can talk offline about whether those are good choices, but that is the answer.
Okay. Well, we've been getting that answer a lot recently, which is kind of funny because we didn't hear coffee for a very long time. And then all of a sudden, the last few conversations we've had, coffee, coffee, coffee.
I do try to wait 30 minutes. I really do. Because I don't know. It seems like you should have a minute before you start with the coffee.
I think that sounds great. So anyway, Nina, everyone has a story and we would love for you to share your journey in a nutshell that led you to dive into writing about friendship specifically and then starting your podcast, Dear Nina Conversations, that are all about friendship and community.
So I'm really a writer, first and foremost. I still consider myself number one, a writer, and writers have beats. And I was on a parenting beat for a long time. I had a column in a magazine called Brainchild, and I had other parenting things everywhere. I also wrote a lot about religion and had a lot of articles in a lot of different places. As my kids got older, two things happened. First of all, I didn't really have anything new to say on the religious stuff. I had written about every single holiday, every single aspect of that you could think of, and I was kind of like done with that. Then on the parenting side, as my kids were just getting a little older, I didn't want to write about them. And it's not that I was writing so much about them specifically, but it was still hard to write about parenting without the assumption being it was about them. And that coincided two writers I knew, I didn't know them in person, who were starting a website called Her Stories, and that they were doing that because they were putting together anthologies of essays all about friendship. And I'd written things about friendship too. I mean, again, like I said, writers have beats. I had regular beats of parenting and religion, but I also wrote a lot about other things, friendship being one of them. And one of these editors really liked my friendship stuff. She knew I was really obsessed with the topic because we talked a lot offline. And she said, we are going to do a friendship advice column. This is in 2014, so almost 10 years ago. Would you be our advice columnist? And I was like, but I'm not a therapist. I'm not a social worker. I felt a little funny about it because the two of you should know, I never refer to myself as a friendship expert. I really call myself more a friendship enthusiast. And now that it's been 10 years, I've certainly learned some things. I've seen a lot of patterns. I get a lot of questions that start to be repetitive, meaning I can see what people are thinking about. But I still, because of this thing where I'm not certified in any kind of that friendship coaching. And I don't want to be. That is a thing. You can be a coach. I don't want to be a friendship coach. I'm not interested in the one-on-one thing. I like to really talk more broadly to more people. But anyway, that was 10 years ago. I did the column. I said yes. I had so much fun with it. And I kept doing it for a long time. But as I'm sure the two of you have seen as well, audio is really big. It's really where it's at. I wanted to do a podcast for a long time. I've been a longtime listener of all different kinds of podcasts, but I felt like, oh, I'm not ready. And then I realized that, what am I waiting for? Anytime you're doing something new, there's the learning curve and it's never going to be comfortable. It's going to be hard to learn the editing and learn all of the different elements. And I decided in COVID times, when a lot of people decided to start a podcast, I just had more time to do that. And I watched a bazillion hours of YouTube, and a friend of mine in Boulder, who I met just through the writing world, taught me on a Zoom how to edit using Descript, which I really appreciate, just friend to friend. She was like, you can do this. If I can do this, you could do this, which is such a nice thing for a friend to do. And that was in summer of 2021. So I've been doing the podcast, Dear Nina, for about 2.5 years. And I have no intention of slowing down. I love it. I still do the written piece a little bit on my Substack newsletter, but really the podcast is number one.
That's awesome. And I've really enjoyed listening to your podcast. I can't say I'm a weekly listener because I'm not a weekly listener of any one podcast. I feel like I jump all over the place, but I do really enjoy your podcast when I listen to it.
Thank you.
And thinking about that, I know there's so much to cover, you know, just talking about friendship. And I'm really curious, like, what is the number one friendship question that you tend to get over and over again?
Interesting. They are really in buckets. And it's hard to say number one. It's almost equal, but I could tell you the top three buckets, I think. It's making friends, ending a friendship on either end of that. Either you are kind of clear that somebody is trying to back away from you, or you want to end a friendship with someone else. So that's a huge bucket. But the making friends also, and it could be for any variety of reasons, you've moved, you're just struggling to make friends where you're at. People can live in the same city for 60 years and kind of look up one day and go, you know, I don't know if I have that much in common with the people I've been hanging out with. How do I make new friends? Or you're retiring. So these different stages, you get divorced, are reasons to want to make new friends. And the biggest bucket, I guess the number one, I am answering that now because everything else fits into this number three, is keeping friends. There is a lot of conflict, and a big part of my mission, I think, it's way back in 2014, is that I do think friendship can be a lot less drama-free and easier, but it takes a lot of self-work. And so almost all the questions I get have some assumption in it. There is some assumption. That, to me, is the bottom line of almost every question in the keeping friends category. And it's usually a negative assumption. It's assuming the other person has bad intent that they probably don't have. And if you could accept that you really don't know what other people are thinking, you wouldn't walk around offended or all these things that get in people's way. So I try to help people get out of their own way and just get along with people.
Well, I think we really need that. So that's amazing that you're doing that. I think people don't think about it, right? They just assume.
That's right.
And, you know, this is such a broad topic because it relates to all levels. Like if you're a parent and you have kids and you're navigating with your kid on how to make friendships, and then as an adult, you go through different phases. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to make friends when you don't have little kids anymore if you're looking to expand, or you go through your own personal growth journey and you realize, like you kind of alluded to, maybe I don't have as much in common. And so maybe you don't want to end the friendships necessarily, but you want to pivot a bit and find some new friends. And so all this advice, I just think, is continuously relevant to all stages and ages. And I think as parents, it's something modeling how to be a good friend. I know that's something that I've talked about with my kids, and it's hard, and it's hard work. Like you can't just expect, you know, especially for kids that are like going into middle school or high school or college, like you can't just expect everyone to want to like be your friend if you don't put in a little bit of work, right?
It's so much self-work. A really good example on the parenting front here that is, I wish more people would model. I myself have had to learn it. I have four kids and I've gotten better with the little two. They're not so little. The youngest is in sixth grade already, but I'm so much better with those two than I was with the older two because we grow and we learn. An example I'll give you is, I really talk a lot now with all of them, but the younger ones will benefit more, about not making a big deal when your friends do stuff without you. But the first way you have to do that is you have to not make a big deal when your friends do stuff without you, the adult. And it's normal. And it's normal for kids too. And I think this is a great example of where modeling would, not just modeling and teaching. Modeling not getting upside down when you yourself are aware that some friends maybe took a trip or some friends did something without you, because most of us like to do stuff also in small groups. Very few people want to take every single trip with 10 other couples or 8 other women. A lot of people enjoy a trip with a friend or two. If you enjoy that, you have to give that over to your friends to allow them to also do things without you. And the same goes for the kids. And I definitely got a little more upside down in my own life and my kids' lives for the older ones. I mean, I've learned so much and I'm very embarrassed about things I felt, things I did, things I talked about maybe with my kids as they were venting, probably agreeing with them 10 years ago. Now, if any of them brought that to me, I'd say, okay, so you go, you plan a trip, you go invite someone to something. I've lost a lot of my sympathy, maybe. And I'm much more with the people who I talk to on my show and with my own kids. I'm much more of the mindset of plan something. I say a lot, you be the cruise director. Like, stop expecting everyone to invite you to stuff. Like, plan something, do something, make plans. If you make plans, you have plans.
And I think some of that comes with age and experience, right? Like, everything you're describing, I remember feeling with my first child. And then it's like you get seasoned. And then by the third kid, you're like, whatever, she'll figure it out. Like, and they do. Yes. And they figure it out. But I do think that it's hard for adults and kids to do what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And you, it's like you almost have to take the emotion out of it in some ways. And you can still be thinking about kids, for instance. You know, your kid feels left out. Yes, you can tell them to go plan something, but you still, I feel like, have to empathize with them and understand if they're hurting in the moment.
Oh, totally. No, it's normal to have your feelings hurt. It is then, I think, good to have someone help you understand that it's not a rejection of you.
Right.
That you're not an unworthy person because these people got together on a Saturday night without you. Right. So it's like acknowledging, yeah, that must have hurt your feelings. And also, wasn't it fun when you got together, you know, one time with just two friends and it was just the three of you and you enjoyed that so much? Your friend loves you, or maybe not. I mean, every situation's different, but a lot of times people really do like each other. They just don't want to do everything in a giant group. It's so hard now. Everything's like such a friend group. I hear that word so much. It just makes me nuts.
Yes. Yeah. I dealt with that a lot. It's like some of these kids though in high school have a friend group and they feel like if you're not in that group, like someone on the outside, they won't even ask to do something because they're not part of the friend group. And I think that some of that just changes with maturity. And as we get older, we can have lots of friend groups.
That's right. Different friends for different reasons. It does take a lot of time and maturity. I actually don't spend a ton of time on my show on teens and kids because, again, kind of back to the parenting, I don't like to veer too much into talking about my own kids. And those are the kids in my life. So,
yeah. Well, and plus, like what you said, if you just model, I think it's, if the focus is on adults and modeling good behavior, then that will trickle down to the kids indirectly.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. So Nina, you know, one thing that, you know, I think Marnie and I both kind of not struggle with sometimes is we want to meet new people. We have existing friends. I know we all three of us live in Minnesota. One thing that I found when I moved here was that Minnesotans tend to have like high school friends and college friends if they went to school locally or, you know, within a driving distance. And so it's hard sometimes to like make friends with people. And I don't know, you know, I think sometimes it's just because of lack of time, not necessarily lack of interest, but how can we like branch out maybe of our existing groups of friends? And maybe it's getting out of our comfort zone a little bit, but like reaching out to people who we've met maybe casually through other friends. And how do you kind of like bring them into your world?
It takes a lot of doing it on purpose. I do think that anyone who is waiting for it to just happen is not going to happen. And I'm thinking of two close adult friends, just using my own life, who I have in both cases. They are friends I didn't have when I first moved here. I moved here in 2000, so it's been a while now, but didn't grow up here. These are two friends I made a little later, and in both cases, they actively asked me, basically, do you want to be friends? Almost. It wasn't exactly those words, but almost. In one case, it's somebody I kept running into, just kept running into her again and again, because we had friends in common, and we would see each other at birthday parties. Our kids were a little younger. And one day she emailed me and asked, she said, we have so much to talk about when we run into each other. Could we get together on purpose? She didn't say, will you be my friend? But she did, though, say, I would enjoy spending time with you. I mean, that takes a little courage, but it's such a compliment. And we did. And it's not like we became instant besties, but over many years, we really built a really wonderful friendship that would not have started if she hadn't sent that email. We could have run into each other forever. And there is a benefit in our lives to have friends that are very casual. The people you do run into, like we all are in the same co-working space. Those are nice. That fills life out. There is a place, not just a place, it's actually an extremely important part of life. And it was what we were all missing in COVID, because you're really close friends during COVID. You still spoke to on the phone, hopefully, or, you know, FaceTimed and did little Zoom parties and stuff. It was those outside, more casual friendships that we missed. And it really was a detriment to everybody's mental health. And so I like to actually encourage these casual relationships, but really more to your question on the close friends. Same thing in the second case, and that was in the past 5 years. Somebody also I kept running to actually at Modern Well, I kept running into. We always had lots to talk about. And she kind of did the same thing where she texted me one day and was like, let's have lunch. I mean, it was, somebody has to do something. I really say that a lot. You have to change the venue of where you're getting together, so, or where you're running into someone. So if you see somebody at the gym and you just have good chemistry, you know good chemistry when you feel it.
Yeah.
It has to then move to text. Okay, so now you have each other's number. Now you're going to text for a little bit. But then it has to move off text back to in person. And same thing if you have a long distance friend that you met through podcasting or through the health world, or for me, through the writing world. If we don't move from writing the same comments on the same posts on social media to email, to then text, to then talking on the phone, it's just going to stay stagnant where it is. So that is my number one thing, is changing venues, not just literally the place, although like in the case of our co-working space, that is more literal. To leave the space together is huge, but even just taking it from running into each other to texting. And I don't love relationships to stay on text, but that change of venue just move things around a little, which is great.
Well, and it's funny because you guys are both transplants, right? And I'm from here. And so I find, for me, my rut is that I do have friends from childhood and college, and a lot of them live here, and I tend to see them over and over again. And like 9 out of 10 times when I get together with someone new, I really, really enjoy myself. And I'm like, gosh, I want to get to know this person better. But then what ends up happening is time is limited, and I end up seeing the friends that I'm already super close to, and it's not a lot of work. And it's not that it's work to get to know someone new, but it is a little bit more, right? Like, you have to put in a little bit more effort. And so for me, like, it's important to me to meet new people and to branch out. And I just need to actively like push myself to do that, because it's very easy to get into my rut of my close friends.
And
I don't want to call them a rut, by the way, but you know what I'm saying.
Comfortable. I would say like the comfort of close friends. And
right.
Thinking about someone like me and someone like Stephanie, what year did you move here, Stephanie?
2010. Yeah.
So 10 years later than I did. I think, Marnie, this is in your defense. You will like this a lot. I think that there is an unnecessary vilification of people from Minnesota. And because I've been doing this for 10 years and I get questions from people all over the world, really, not just all over the country, people struggle to make friends as adults, no matter where they live. And I think people are so unfair to Minnesotans. It's very, when you're in a comfortable situation, it totally makes sense that time is limited and you have a family. And until the past handful of years, you had, you know, several kids in the house and sports and plays. And you're like, I know how busy your kids are. Of course you're going to, and your career too, of course you're going to run out of time. And there is such a thing as spreading yourself too thin, and then everything feels kind of surface. And so it makes sense that you would have this place in your life for the comfortable friendships where you don't have to work so hard. And so what I would say to someone like Stephanie, or to myself, if I could go back in time to the year 2000, is to focus only on people who do have space, and not to vilify the people who don't. Because I think that's a mistake I made too when I moved here, is kind of so focused on the people who didn't have room, instead of just being like, okay, like, they, how would I feel if I was still in Chicago where I grew up? I would have my high school friends and I wouldn't be working so hard. And even now that I've lived here 20 some years with a lot of friends, you know, I'm very lucky and I am always open to new friends, but not because I'm not from here, just because that's the kind of person I am, but doesn't mean I have infinite time. And so I do have that feeling sometimes, like you must have being from here, which is a little bit of a worry when I feel that chemistry and I'm like, oh, but I'm not going to have time. I'm not going to be able to really do this friendship necessarily. We get limited.
But I will say, now that I only have one kid in the house, I feel like my world is opening up so much more. And I'm like, wow, I actually do have time now. And now it's just about effort, right? Like, now I see that I have some time. I can actually call the whoever, Joe Schmo, that I was like, wow, I really like her. I really like him. And I want to get to know them better. And that feels good. I'm excited for that new stage.
And I think one thing, I mean, just thinking back to, like, you know, if I had stayed where I grew up, my world is so much broader because I've moved around and I've had to meet people in different cities and multiple cities, you know? And so I think with a more mature mindset, it's like, what are these people bringing and to me and adding and fulfilling my life versus just staying in a little bubble? And I think maybe that's, you know, you have to be wanting to make the effort. Yes, but I don't know. I just feel like I've benefited immensely by branching out and meeting people.
Well, it's a social muscle. You've been forced to really exercise that social muscle that it does take a little work. It can get rusty for people. It can be uncomfortable to say to somebody, like people have said to me, and I've said to other people as well. I don't mean to make it sound like people are just like knocking down my door at all times to be friends. Yeah. I have also reached out to other people for sure and been very proactive, but it does take a little bit of, like I said, courage to acknowledge to somebody, kind of no different than dating. I like you. I have a good feeling about you. I mean, that's hard.
So before we change gears, Stephanie, I just want to say, so I met you, I don't know, 2017 or something. I feel like you have a million friends here. So I think you're doing just fine. I've met a lot of your friends. They're all really nice. And
I feel blessed. I feel blessed, but it is work. Yeah.
But I want to know I'm thinking that we should change gears and talk about couples, because couple friendships are so different from like your girlfriends, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, I'm moving closer to the empty nester phase. Stephanie, you're a few years, you guys are both a few years behind me, but a lot of people in our circles are moving into the empty nester phase. And I feel like it becomes even more important to develop those couple friendships, right? And so I'm wondering, you know, what do you think about a person's social circle or network as they enter that empty nester stage? And I don't know, are there specific activities you recommend, or like, what are your thoughts on that? What kinds of things do you hear from your listeners on that topic?
Hey guys, we wanted to tell you about one of the products that both Marnie and I use every single day, which is the plant-based amino acids from Keon. We've both been drinking their super tasty aminos every morning for many months, either before, during, or after our workouts, which really help to produce more energy, stimulate muscle growth, and help with recovery. The Keon aminos contain all 9 essential amino acids, which are the building blocks of protein and important for overall health. And they now have convenient travel packs, which we both took on our recent vacation, so that we don't have to go a day without our aminos. We both love that there are no artificial ingredients, and our favorite flavors are cool lime and mixed berry. But Keon has many other products that we enjoy as well. My teenage son and I both take their creatine on the days that we strength train, which I mix with the aminos. My husband enjoys their mold-free coffee every day, and my family also uses their premium grass-fed whey protein isolate powder in our smoothies. So if you're focused on getting high-quality sources of protein and building lean muscle for optimum health, then we highly encourage you to head on over to www.getkeon.com, that's K-I-O-N, and use the code ARTOFLIVING for 10% off single products, 15% off bundles, or 20% off a subscription. I am such a big fan of Keon that I have their aminos, their coffee, and creatine all on subscription to maximize my savings and ensure that I never run out.
Well, I'm going to speak to just people who are married or coupled up in some way. You know, that there's plenty of people who are together but not married, but they've been together a long time, so same difference. Because that's a very different conversation from the people who are single, who I hear from a lot. So or divorced. So that's hard. Okay. Like we're going to have to separate that, because the first thing that happens when I talk about couple friends, which I do, is I get the comments that say, well, what about your single friends? So we're going to just put that aside for a second and acknowledge that, of course, that's a whole nother thing. But right now I'm talking to couple friends. My parents modeled couple friends for me, and I got married very young. And when I moved to Minnesota, I wasn't even married yet when we got here, but 6 months into it, I got married, and I was like, okay, it's time for couple friends, like very, you know, leave it to beaver kind of. I just was like, that's what my parents did. That's what we're going to do. And I really set out to do that, not thinking I was going to wait until later or wait until we had kids or wait until the kids were older, but just knowing that that was important. My parents went out with couple friends twice a week. We only do once a week because we're home on Friday nights. But the importance of that was never a question. And one of the main reasons why I think it is so great for married couples is it brings out a side of your spouse that you don't always get to see at home. So like when you're out with your significant other and someone laughs at their joke, you're kind of like, oh yeah, he is funny. you know, sometimes you know, we're at home, you're like, but it, when you're outdoors, everyone kind of dresses a little differently. I mean, I know I do when I'm going out with my husband and it's just the two of us. It's not right, but I'm not saying, I'm not advising this, but I think I probably don't put as much effort forth as when we're with several other couples. So there's this ability to look at your spouse through someone else's eyes and kind of be like, you know, I'd pick that person again, hopefully. If not, then you're going to be in the other camp that we were talking about, divorced and single. But the activity, listen, there's a reason pickleball is as popular as it is. I think it's really speaking to this something to do. It's something to do. It's healthy in that it's active. It's not just sitting around. I mean, you guys know that better than anybody. And it's something you can do in a group of four. It's something that you could do in a group of eight or more, nine. It could be in odd numbers and people move in and out. It's very few things you can do like that. Because when you're sitting at a restaurant with more than just two couples, as we get a little older, I find it is impossible to hear. I mean, I personally find it impossible to hear. And so you're not even like really spending time together. But once you do something active, like a vacation, or which is like an extreme, because that's more than just a night, but something like pickleball, I think bowling used to be popular back in the day for the same reason pickleball, because it's like you can move around. You're not just like standing in one spot.
Yep.
Yeah. And I'll attest to pickleball. Jordan and I have been playing a ton of pickleball with various couples. And it's great because you can literally chat while you're playing. We rotate, you know, you play with like you rotate couples and whatever, partners. It's really fun.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one thing I've been thinking about, but there's a group of, I think it's like four couples. And what we'll do sometimes when we go out to dinner, because you're right. You know, sometimes you get like the lady sitting on one side of the table and the men on the other. And we make a point to do every other like female, male, and you can't sit next to your spouse, which is really fun because you get to know some of the guy. You know, for me, I get to know some of the guys and it's fun. You know, it shouldn't just be about like just the girls on one side and just the guys on the other side. And so I don't know, that's just a way to like mix it up a bit and get to know some of the guys at a different level, because they're going to open up and talk to you about things that they wouldn't normally maybe talk to even their spouse about. Like I've had some great conversations with guys and it's hard. You know, I think when you're younger and single, it's easier to have guy friends. And I always grew up having, you know, guy friends in high school and college and everything. And then when you get married and you couple up, dynamics change and you don't have as much time. So you end up, you know, if I have my free time with a friend, it's usually a girlfriend. I don't have that many just guy friends that I meet on my own anymore, especially since having kids.
Yeah. And if you don't work in a traditional office setting, you could really go decades without interacting with somebody who's not your spouse, right?
Right.
Like that in a friend kind of mixed gender situation. I do get a lot of questions about that. Well, I shouldn't say a lot. Sometimes I say a lot and that's an exaggeration, but it's more like a consistent beat every so often of the same question, which is this missing of having friends of the opposite sex. Mm-hmm. So that is hard if you're not in an office. Like think about that. Work friends is kind of the only place that you're going to encounter that unless you're out there actively making friends of the opposite sex when you're married. I mean, that's not my department. I'm not like a romance dating person, but it's kind of red flag on that, I think.
Well, it makes me think of when Harry met Sally, when I believe it was it Sally that said that girls, or was it Harry? I can't remember which one, but that girls and guys cannot be friends because there's always-
Harry. I think Harry in the movie kind of sets out to disprove him, except he ends up being kind of right.
So anyway, I always think about that, but I think girls and guys can be friends personally.
Yeah.
But kind of to Stephanie's point, it's a little safer and easier within this sort of realm of couple friends.
Yes.
Yes. So any other activities? I mean, I love pickleball too. And all those reasons, any other activities that you suggest or have noticed that are good for that couple activity without, you know, something aside from dinner? I mean, maybe like a concert but that's not as easy to do.
Something I love to do when the time is right and it's the right season for it is a walk around the lake. So we are lucky to have that in Minneapolis. We have, you know, lakes near our houses where you can walk 3 miles. This is best with one other couple. Now, I will kind of relate it to our last conversation. I often will walk with my friend and my girlfriend. and ahead, because we're usually faster than our husbands behind us. And then we'll go to dinner after. Nowhere fancy because we're in, you know, walking clothes, but you don't need to be in full exercise gear for this kind of activity. Mm-hmm. I think this is probably advice you have covered on your podcast before, but it's probably why you see me walking in the neighborhood so much, Marnie, and I see you too, is like, I'm not always out there for an hour. I might just be taking a call. Actually, a lot of times I will take a call on foot. It doesn't have to, it could be 15 minutes, but my point is you can just be in like jeans and sneakers or whatever, normal clothes, as long as you have the right shoes. And you can go on. It doesn't have to be an exercise walk where you're like getting your heart rate up, but just a walk. Maybe it's 30 minutes and then to dinner. I think that's so fun. It mixes it up.
I love that. Or biking too. You could bike somewhere, you know, just a mile or two away even. Yeah.
You guys, I haven't been on a bike in decades, but I know it's a thing. I know, Marnie, I see your family biking. I'm like so embarrassed for myself, but I just...
You're missing out. We have summer goals. Many trails.
Yeah.
I know. I hate myself for it.
Well, there's time.
Yeah. Can we talk about rejection and disappointment?
Yes.
What would you say to someone who is trying to make a new friend and they are maybe not going about it the right way? Or I don't want to say the right way, but they're just coming up against rejection and disappointment. And I'm thinking, you know, in my head, as I want to answer the question, I'm thinking, well, maybe they're not approaching the right people. But what would you say to that, to someone that's thinking about that?
First of all, I would say exactly that. That is what I was going to say. And it goes back to our earlier conversation about looking for people who have room in their lives. Because I think sometimes when you're looking to make friends, we're attracted to people we see out there with a lot of friends. Well, if you think about it, those people probably have those slots filled for the most part. That's why they seem so out there and social. Probably you need to be focusing on someone who isn't as surrounded by people, isn't so busy. And you don't always know for sure. Part of how you will know is if the answer is often no. I'm going to tell you something I tell a lot of people, that what people might think of as rejection maybe isn't. There's a lot of misunderstanding. Earlier, I talked about the bad assumptions in that things have to be tit for tat. I reached out this time. I suggested we go for a walk. We're not going to now walk again unless you suggest it. I really advise against that. And I think everybody has different skill sets in friendship and in life in general, but even specifically to friendship. Again, I use myself as an example if I'm on here talking because I can't really speak for anybody else, but I'm really good at reaching out for the most part. You know, sometimes I get busy and I get bogged down, but I will not keep track at all. I could be the first person to text in a conversation every time. As long as the person texts back and is clearly enthusiastic about it, if I suggest a date and they can't do it, but they say, but how about these three dates? I consider that equal. Even if I'm the one who initiated that text every time, I consider that equal. Many people do not. Many people will send that text. And then if the other person doesn't then do it first the next time, they're like done. They will consider that rejection. They may consider, oh, I was rejected by that person because I'm the one always reaching out for plans. Really try to get people out of that mindset. Maybe you're just more organized. I'm a very organized person. I know when I'm free. I know when I'm ready to see someone again. A lot of people are very overwhelmed by their lives. They just are. And they're just not good at reaching out because they haven't made time in their calendar. So why would they reach out to make a plan with you when they don't even have any space in their calendar because they haven't organized their lives that way? But then when you reach out, they go, oh yeah, I would like to go for a walk with so-and-so. And they'll make time because you reached out, because you're a good reacher outer.
Okay, that is such a good point. And it's actually something I've even talked to my daughter about and my husband, because I like bringing people together. We like entertaining. I know Marnie entertains all the time. And it doesn't bother me if I'm the one that's making plans or initiating it, because you're right. Some people just don't have space to do that. And I'm someone who is organized. I like to have things to look forward to in the calendar. I like to bring people together to have different experiences, whether it's pickleball or dinner party or whatever. And so if that makes me happy and the other people are participating and they're like, Stephanie, thank you for getting us organized and finding this great restaurant. That's all I need. I don't care if I'm the one doing it 10 out of, 10 to 1 times, because it brings me joy to have these people in my life and they're reciprocating in other ways. We all don't have the same role. My husband just said this to me the other day. He was like, oh, it seems like we always ask these people to do something and we've never really had an invite from them. And I'm like, but I know them and that's just not their thing. That's not their jam. They're a little more introverted. They'll gladly participate when they're free, but they're not going to overschedule themselves. That's just who they are. And it doesn't bother me because when I see them and I enjoy my time with them.
That's such a good attitude.
It's just this mindset, you know?
Well, and I'll also speak to that. Like, I'm a big hoster. I know you're a hoster, Stephanie. Nina, you're a hoster too. And some people are not hosters. They're not comfortable having people in their home. They don't like having people in their home. I think
it stresses them out, I think.
Like, yeah, when I was newly married and I'd have people over and then they wouldn't reciprocate, I was 100% offended. I'd be like,
same.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Like, today, I get it. Like you said, Nina, perfectly. People are overwhelmed. They're not organized. And the thought of making dinner and setting a table stresses people out. I enjoy it. Like, so for me, I'll just continue to have people over. And if they don't want to come, then they won't come. But I don't take it personally if they're not then inviting me back to their home for dinner. And chances are they're not inviting anybody over for dinner.
That's the thing. If you ask them, it's not just you. It's just what they do. It's just
not
or what they don't do. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
So yeah, don't take it personal. It kind of gets back to the beginning.
That's right. When I'm talking about assumptions, that's really what I mean. It's like taking things personally that aren't personal. It does take growth. Marnie, I felt the same way when I was newly married and inviting people over. I was waiting for that reciprocation. And I realized that we do all reciprocate in different ways. I use this example a lot when I'm talking to people. So if anyone's heard me before, they'll roll their eyes because I say this a lot. But I am never, ever going to offer to drive anyone to the airport. It's just not my thing. I hate driving, first of all. I'm not like a big driver.
I don't like doing that either. That is so funny.
We're all similar. So I'll have you over
for
dinner.
I'd rather pay for your Uber, actually.
Yes, me too.
Well, I always feel like I got an Uber. I arranged a car or whatever. I parked my car at the airport.
100%. Like, I thought I was the only one. I've never said that before.
Hate it. I mean, obviously, I'll take my kids and my husband, but I mean, even then, I'm like, I'm like annoyed about it, but I'll do it.
Oh,
and
my
I'm
God.
Also not quick. I'm just thinking of like other friendship things to be the first person when I know you have an event to go to. It's not going to occur to me necessarily to say like, oh, do you want to come over and borrow a dress? I know you said you like that dress this one time. If you ask me, can I come borrow the dress? Sure, I'm happy to give it to you. But I'm not always forward thinking that way. Okay, so that's somewhere where I'm not going to be the number one person. But you can come to my house 10 times to the one time I come to your house. So like we all have our things we're better at. So back to the original question from Marnie. Before we even decide we're rejected, I think it's important to think about what we're talking about here. Is somebody else just showing their friendship differently? If you constantly reach out to someone and they don't respond for a week, or they, when they respond, they're like, oh, I'm so sorry, I can't do that. But they don't say, but I have definitely some free time in 2 weeks. How's Monday the 5th? Those are the cues you look for.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of people are seeing rejection where it doesn't exist, taking it personally when it's just life, it's just busyness.
And on that note, if someone just isn't reciprocating at all, or isn't offering any other time or space, and it's clear, you know, at some point you just have to decide the stars aren't aligned. This is life presenting me with a situation and I need to kind of move on or it wasn't meant to be, at least not at now. And not that it never will meant to be. Like I've had this conversation with my daughter. I don't think you're never going to be friends again with this person, but right now it's just not aligned. Right. It's hard because you get your feelings hurt, right? And it's hard not to take it personally.
I'm going to say something, and it reminds me of the conversation we were having about the kids too, and the teens and the being left out. And this is hard for people to hear and take. People do get their feelings hurt, period. There's no way to avoid it. Like, I think we work really hard to make sure our kids never have their feelings hurt, that we ourselves don't have to ever feel bad. And I would love for the message to be out there that we will get our feelings hurt, our kids will get our feelings hurt, and we'll be okay. We will be okay. You move on to some, like you said, move on. Move on even though your feelings are a little hurt. Even though it makes it hard to maybe reach out to the next person because you felt that sense of rejection, nobody can have the right chemistry with every person. And chemistry is its own topic, by the way. I mean, it's its own thing. There are studies on it. There are things that make you click with somebody that you can study. A little example would be like proximity, just being in a space where it's easy to get together. It's why people in college and at camp, you know, make these bonds so quickly. I mean, you might not have that much in common, but you are near each other. And so the ease of it counts for something. The opposite is true. You can have great chemistry, but if it's a pain to see the person, you live nowhere near them, that good chemistry actually isn't enough to make a really solid friendship. Because I mean, it's, you live 45 minutes away. I won't even drive to the airport, which is 20 minutes away. I'm not driving to your house. That's 45 minutes away.
I just want to say, like, for when you get your feelings hurt, I think when you start to hold a grudge against someone that hurt your feelings or hurt your kid or whatever, that's actually not good for you and your own body. And when you're holding like anger or hurt or whatever it is inside of you, and you know, people can kind of clench up or tense up, or they see the person and it's awkward and uncomfortable. Like you said, Nina, let your feelings get hurt or be hurt, feel your sadness, and then you got to let it go and move on and start fresh, because you don't want to hold on to that. It festers, and it's not healthy for anyone.
Yes.
People give themselves so much more room, so much more grace than they actually give other people. And taking this rejection of friendship thing as a good example, we all meet so many people in our lives, and not a single one of us could have all of them as good friends. We can't even have them all as casual friends. It's impossible. And we know that that doesn't mean we think this other person's terrible. We know that it's because we're busy, and it's because we already have a lot of friends, or we just started a new job, or we're about to move in a year, and we just don't even want to fathom like having more people to say goodbye to. There's all different kinds of reasons. We know our own reasons. And then we assume that other person just hates us or is a bad person. Or I would love to see more people give the same room to others that they get to themselves. I know people are also hard on themselves, and I'm sure you hear from a lot of people who are very hard on themselves, but this is connected to the hurt feelings thing. I think, yes, accept that your feelings get hurt, but also like a little bit of a thicker skin, that just like sometimes the chemistry is not there for nothing personal or just circumstantial, that is true for everyone else. It is true for everyone else.
I would agree. That's just great advice. And you know, Lena, I know I feel like we could have you back on to talk about so many other things. Like you just talked about like chemistry and all. But as we start to kind of wrap up this conversation, do you have any, you know, personal advice or personal anecdotes or success stories about making new friends that you want to like leave our listeners with to inspire them or encourage them, you know, regardless of what their age is or where they are in their life?
Yes, I'm going to take that on in 1 second. I want to respond quickly to what Marnie said about the holding the anger in your body. So true. And it's a reason why friendship is actually, and not just friendship, but just social connections in general. Like I said, well, it's all in the bucket of friendship, but close friendship and casual friendship are so important for your health, because it is true. They have studies that show that your stress level goes down when you have someone to confide in. And not having somebody close in your life, or having these feelings like Marnie was talking about, just like the anger and the feeling of rejection that you hold in your body, and you really like the clenching, all that, blood pressure goes up. It's for real. They say it's as bad as having 20 cigarettes a day, maybe worse. I think the study was, they looked at 308,000 people, and the health factors of people who did not have someone close in their life were like being full-time smokers. And wow. It's a real thing.
That's
it's
crazy.
A real thing for your physical health, having people that you feel are a joyful part of your social life. So speaking to now what Stephanie said about what can you do to make new friends, no matter what stage of life you're in, I think trying something new is huge, especially with other people who are new at it. So I'll give you an example from my life. 3 years ago, I think it's been three now, I took up tennis again. I had played as a teen and as a kid, but I hadn't played as an adult, and I wanted to. I have close friends who are really good at tennis, so they wouldn't have been the right people to do it with because they're way ahead. And they would talk about tennis, and they'd mention tennis, and I'd feel so jealous. Not that they were doing it together. They actually weren't doing it together. They are in completely different leagues. They played at different places. And then it was the tennis part. I was like, oh, I want to play tennis. And finally, honestly, 20 years later, I was like, wait, I'm a grown-up person. I can play tennis. I have a wallet and a credit card. Like, I could go buy stuff. Those little pieces of it were an impediment. I'm like, oh, I had to buy new shoes and a new racket. Finally, it was like starting the podcast. You know, you just push it off, you push it off, you push it off. And I was like, I'm not getting any younger. My knees aren't getting any better. I finally did it 3 years ago. It is the joy of my life. And I've met so many people that a lot of them live in my neighborhood. They're young. I'm like the grandma of the group. Some of them
like
are
my neighbor.
Yes, we're buddies. We're such good friends now. I've like made all these friends. I love them. And now we play Maj together. They like me.
That's
like them.
That's on my list.
Oh, Maj is the best. I've been playing Maj forever.
I just learned how to play.
Oh, it's so fun. It's like a whole different kind of muscle to use, right? Yes. It's important. But I see them now off the tennis court. Back to what I said earlier about changing the venue. So first it was only tennis. So we would, it was just tennis. But now I've gone on walks with different ones of them, one-on-one. I've had some of them over for dinner, back to the hosting thing. This is all very full circle. And I think I was a little bit hesitant at first because I'm a little older. I'm maybe only 5 years older than some of them, but I'm 10 years older than some of them. And in my mind, I was like, no, they're just going to be tennis friends, which has its place. That's a great place to start. I would advise against always looking for a close friend. I think people should be looking for friends, not close friends. You become close friends. You don't look for a close friend. You look for a friend and then you become closer. But I'm telling you, people make that mistake a lot. And then they are like, I don't want to be with that person. We're not going to be close friends. Okay. Can you just be friends? You don't have to be close friends. But the tennis ones organically over time became not just, you know, tennis friends, as we say, but real friends. And it's been a wonderful surprise that I did not see coming.
That's awesome.
Such great advice.
I think I left the tennis world right when you jumped in and I miss it a lot.
Now you're doing pickle.
Yes, I am doing pickle and
That's in my future. Fun. That will be my next thing. I'm still like in the thick of the time. I'm now doing matches. I'm doing singles and doubles. I'm in the whole planet and I don't have time for the pickle.
No. Right. Right. So Nina, where can our listeners find you? Tell them about your podcast, your newsletter.
Thank you so much. My podcast is called Dear Nina, Conversations About Friendship. And my newsletter, which is on Substack, which so many people's newsletters are on. Sometimes people are very confused about Substack. It's just a website that houses your newsletter, but it connects you to other people on that website. And that is also Conversations About Friendship. So that one's called Conversations About Friendship, but everything is on ninabadzin.com. I'm doing a lot of TikTok now. God help me. I mean, I'm sure the kids are like just dying a slow death seeing me on there, but I'm doing it.
You come up on my For You page.
I'm sorry.
I try not to go on TikTok very often, but I have a child who makes TikToks and I like to watch her TikToks. So I'll go on it every so often. And you always come up when I go on it.
I learn so much friendship content from TikTok. I'm glad I'm on there. And part of being on there is making the content yourself. But yeah, Instagram, all the stuff. It's all there.
Awesome. And we'll link all that up in the show notes. So Nina, one final question that we love to ask all of our guests is, what does the art of living well mean to you?
Well, you're not going to be surprised by my answer. It is having these quality friendships and connections. I end my podcast every single time with the same expression, and I believe it very deeply. And it is that when our friendships are going well, we are happier all around. And it really is true, because when you are having strife with your friends, or you're lonely, or you feel you have no one that you're getting along with, you're pretty unhappy. Mm-hmm. So I think that is without a question, friendship, good friendship.
I couldn't agree more.
Me too. I love that quote. And everybody needs good friends in their lives. They just enrich our lives so much.
They do. And you're right about, like, scientifically, there are studies out there that show the benefits, and the Blue Zones talk about it, and all these different, you know, health and longevity studies and research. It's having close connections with people. You don't need to have 100 friends, but you need to have a couple that are close and you can confide in. So
that's right.
The work you're doing is so important. And we're so glad that you came on our show today.
Thank you for having me.
And hopefully I will see you at Modern Well soon, or Marnie will see you walking in the neighborhood.
That's right.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Art of Living Well podcast. We are so grateful that you joined us today.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend or anyone else you think may benefit from this information. We'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast, leave us a review, and tag the Art of Living Well podcast on social media.
If you want more inspiration in between episodes, you can find us on social media at theartofliving_well on Instagram and Facebook, where we will share snippets from our daily lives and our journey to living well.